Welcome to Downing Street. This is the interview we have waited 1,791 days for and couldn't come at a better time. It's a crucial week as voters prepare to have their say in Thursday's elections. I'm here live in the Downing Street study with Boris Johnson before he addresses the Ukrainian Parliament, the first world leader to do so since Russia's invasion. But at home, troubles are mounting. There are claims of sexism in Parliament. Partygate investigations continue, and there is a rising cost of living crisis. Prime Minister, we have a lot to get through.
Good morning, Susanna. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being back with us. And it seems remarkable that before we get into talking about Ukraine, so many people want to know, are you honest, Prime Minister?
I think you, yes. And I think that the best way to judge that is to look at what this government says it's going to do and what it does.
And we'll get to that in a minute. I just want a straight answer. You're an honest speaker.
Yes. And I do my best to represent faithfully and accurately what I believe. And sometimes it's controversial and sometimes it offends people, but that's what I do.
Sometimes people say you lie, Prime Minister.
If you're talking about the statements I made in the House of Commons, I was inadvertently, I was wrong, and I've apologised for that. But look at what we have done. If you're talking about the
okay, we'll what's happened, what in happened in number what 10. I want to do, but what at, I want to do,
what,
Prime Minister,
if you look at what this government has
done, I know, and we'll get to what the government's going to do and has done. But I just want to get on the record what you say about honesty and telling the truth, because it's important
for
our viewers,
okay,
because they're going to be listening to their answers, to your answers.
It matters very much.
And
to
there
me.
Are also, as you know, and again, this seems remarkable, there are fact checkers at every stage of every interview who will go through your answers with a fine-tooth comb.
Fine.
Let's talk about, first, the reason why we're here. You are going to be the first Western leader to speak to the Ukrainian Parliament. What can you say to the Ukrainians? And what can we do as a country without putting Western targets at risk? For instance, diplomats in Kyiv.
Well, I'm very proud of our diplomats in Kyiv and Melinda Simmons, who's going back to reopen the embassy. She's done an absolutely amazing job. And I think anybody who targets UK diplomats is totally beyond the pale. They have no justification for it. Let me tell you why they have no justification, Susanna. What the UK is doing and has done since the crisis began is lead the world in helping the Ukrainians to protect themselves against wanton aggression, barbaric aggression by Vladimir Putin. That's all we're doing. And it's very important for people to understand the limits of what we're saying. We're not saying that we're doing this in order to drive some geopolitical change or to have an outcome in Moscow. I think the UK is indifferent on all that. What we care about is Ukrainian people and their suffering.
Okay.
And it is totally unjustifiable to allow a free, sovereign, independent country like Ukraine just to be overwhelmed and obliterated as it might have been. So what we did was we began very early on, earlier than any other European country, to send them the weaponry that they might need against tanks in particular, then, of course, many other types of weapons.
But we
also marshalled the world, or helped to marshal the world, in delivering a very tough package of economic sanctions.
You say that you care about the Ukrainian people. Why, then, are we making it harder than any other European country for Ukrainian women and children fleeing war to come here to the UK?
Well, we have done a huge amount to help Ukrainian women and children in the area, but we're now seeing large numbers come to the UK. And so
they're
far,
they're waiting weeks, Prime Minister,
86,000 visas have been issued, and 27,000 are already here. And I want to say thank you. 27,000 is a lot, and it's growing fast.
Okay,
Susanna.
So the numbers.
And I want to pay tribute to all those who are helping to look after Ukraine.
Absolutely, you're right. But
could we have done it faster? Yes, perhaps we could.
We could have done it faster.
But let me be very clear. I think it is important that we do two things. First of all, that we have a system that the public absolutely trusts.
Why can't we give visa-free travel? And we've just spoken to the Ukrainian ambassador. He says he's negotiating with the Home Secretary about this. We could just lift visas. These are women and children. We have seen the horrors that they're trying to get away from. And we are holding them up. Why can't we give them visa-free travel?
It's important in a wartime situation, such as one we have, when people are, I'm afraid, pretending to be otherwise... You know,
women and children, Prime Minister, 90% of those fleeing are women and children.
But it's important to protect the system from those who might want to abuse it, but also important to protect the women and children from coming to... somewhere where they're not going to get the welcome that we would want.
You
so that's why
to...
the screening and all the work we've done to make sure that we match up people in
we're
the right
talking about
and,
screening and, babies and
the results,
children.
The results
really?
The results are starting to be really excellent.
A fraction of those who have applied for visas have arrived in the UK.
Yeah, but quite a big fraction.
We're making it hard for
quite a big fraction.
You are going to announce £300 million for Ukraine. Lots of people today saying that's all well and good. How do we find that amount of money for Ukraine when we have a cost of living crisis right here?
I think it's our duty, even in very tough times, to make sure that we look after the Ukrainian people as best as we can. What we've done is not only put our money where our mouth is, supported the Ukrainians with a very tough package of economic sanctions, a military support. We've also led the way in bringing countries together. So the UK has hosted
we've addressed Ukraine,
but also brought other countries together. So
in an interview of limited time,
please,
when we are 2 days out from elections, the biggest issue for people is not Ukraine. The biggest issue for people right now is how they can possibly afford to pay their bills. And they wonder, are you in touch with what they're experiencing? Food prices are rising, going to be the biggest in a decade. Energy bills are rising, and they're going to rise again in October. Petrol costs are rising. Taxes rising. Food bank use is rising. The number of people in poverty is rising. The number of children in poverty is rising. This is on your watch, Prime Minister.
And we're doing everything we can to help with the pressures on family budgets. And I totally understand and get the what people are going through. And it is important, though, to set the global context. This is a spike in energy prices. You mentioned food, cost of chickens is crazy, chicken breast. This is all being driven by the cost of the inputs, mainly fuel. And that has been greatly exacerbated by...
It's not just a recent problem, is it? You say you're doing everything you can. You're not. You're not imposing a windfall tax on the fuel companies. And we've already heard about billions in profit for BP this morning. Why not?
Let me come to that, because that is incredible.
Can you answer that now?
Yes, of course. It's incredibly important that we focus on one of the biggest issues that we have. This country is in the insane position of having to pipe in electricity from France and elsewhere, because we haven't done enough to invest in our own security of energy and electricity supply.
Okay, let the energy companies invest.
They need to invest.
And at the same time...
And so I don't...
Why don't you impose a windfall tax on the profits? Just one off.
Because
to help people right now.
Because
it doesn't help people right now who are paying their energy bills,
which
have gone up hundreds,
to be
told we need to leave that money to the energy companies because they need to invest.
They do need to
invest. That's their job. Your job is to help people pay their bills.
Yes, so what we're doing right now is helping people with the cost of energy with the £9.1 billion that we have put in, with the £350 support that we're giving through council tax.
You've offered people a loan that they have to pay back.
Straight off their council tax.
The £150 council tax rebate doesn't touch the sides and doesn't affect everybody.
I accept. Now, that's the point. That's the point. Because I accept that those contributions from the taxpayer, because that's what it is, taxpayers' money, isn't going to be enough immediately to help cover everybody's costs. Of course that isn't going to work in
so you
enough
acknowledge
in the
you
short
are not
term.
Doing everything
there
you
is,
can.
There is more that we can do.
Yes.
But the crucial thing is to make sure we deal with the prices over the medium and long term.
So when you say and so that we're means, doing everything we can, so, you're not being honest, are you? Because you've just said there's more we can do.
Sorry, we're doing a huge amount. So the £9.1 billion that we announced is much bigger than any rival plan that I've seen.
A big figure and, like £9 billion doesn't mean anything to individuals.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you some examples because we get emails all the time, Prime Minister, about this. You have said that individuals have to make choices about what they spend their money on. You're on record as saying that, OK? And I want to ask you then about a number of our viewers who have got in touch with us about the choices that they're making. Elsie is 77. She's a widow and she's a pensioner who lives in a council house. She receives a pension of £170 a week. Her energy bills have gone, get this, from £17 a month to £85 a month.
Yeah.
She will pay an additional £816 a year. To cut down on spending, Prime Minister, Elsie has now resorted to eating one meal a day. She's 77 years old. She's losing weight. She goes to the supermarket at the end of the day to buy yellow sticker discounted items. She gets up early in the morning to use her Freedom bus pass to stay on buses all day to avoid using energy at home. What else should Elsie cut back on, in your opinion?
Well, I don't want Elsie to cut back on anything. Let's talk about Elsie and what we're doing. And just remind you that the 24-hour Freedom bus pass was something that I actually introduced, just parenthetically.
Marvellous. So Elsie should be grateful to you for her bus pass. But what else should she cut back on?
There are plenty of things that we are doing. So what we want to do is make sure that we have people who are in particular hardship looked after by their council. Mm-hmm. So we're putting much more money into local councils. We have the particular payments for to help elderly people, in particular, with the cost of heating. But look, Susanna,
already qualifies for that.
And I'm going to accept...
I'm asking you now, what does Elsie cut back on now?
I don't want Elsie to have to cut back on anything. And we will make sure...
But Prime Minister, her energy bills have gone up to £85 a month.
And the best answer is to help her abate the cost of energy as we are, but also...
What, through a loan that she has to pay back?
To make sure... There's a direct cut in her council tax as a result of what we're doing, plus the
she doesn't
the
qualify
home,
for the council the tax rebate as her home comes
plus the winter
under
fuel allowance. There are measures that we put in place to help people, but I'm not going to pretend to you
can't say
Susanna,
anything to help
I'm not
going to
pretend to see, no, because what we are doing is making sure that we take the steps now to invest in our energy supply. You'll get back to your point about the energy companies, to ensure that we have the supply for the medium and the long term.
Elsie and people like Elsie. Taking VAT off energy bills might help people. The windfall tax on energy companies might help people. I've got another example for you. Dan and his wife made you parents, full-time carers of two disabled daughters. One is severely disabled, cerebral palsy, brain damage, deaf and partially blind. My heart goes out to this family. For her treatment and to keep her comfortable, the family have a range of different electrical machines used on a daily basis, some of them 24 hours a day, which means their energy bills are, of course, high. Their energy bills have gone up to £450 a month. What should Dan and Maju cut back on?
We are looking at particular arrangements to support those who may be using dialysis machines or who may have particular high requirements of electricity because of their medical conditions. And I totally understand that hardship. But just to get back to my point, I know that this may sound frustrating because people think, we need money now. Well, the money we have
families need money now.
They do. And we are doing everything we can to help them. But
You've said that a number of times, Prime Minister, and I have to take issue because you've said we're doing everything we can. And
if you put
said
a windfall tax, let's just go back to your suggestions. If you put a a windfall tax on the energy companies. What that means is that you discourage them from making the investments that we want to see that will, in the end, keep energy prices lower for everybody. This is going to be something that we have to fix.
Energy companies are raking in billions right at this moment.
And they are also investing.
Elsie is facing £800 a year extra in her bills. Dan and Maju are on a carer's allowance. Do you know how much the carer's allowance went up per week back in April?
I can imagine.
Do you know?
I can't give you the figure, but I can imagine that it was not enough in the short term to cope with the cost.
It went up. Their carer's allowance is £69.70 a week. It went up by just over £2 a week. You're not doing enough for people.
Can I just explain the problem that we face? We have a short-term hit caused by the spike in energy prices across the world. If we respond by driving up prices and costs across the board in this country, responding by the government stepping in and driving up inflation, that will hit everybody. And that will mean that people's interest rates on their mortgages go up, the cost of borrowing goes up, and we face an even worse problem. We're already spending £83 billion a year to service the cost of government debt. Mm-hmm. That's huge. That's far more than we spend on defence, on many other budgets across Whitehall. It's a huge sum of money. And the risk is, if we have an inflationary spiral of the kind that could be triggered, then you'll see interest rates going up, and that will hit people in their mortgages.
Have you seen inflation?
Inflation
could hit 10%.
Correct.
And you know who's not getting their payments uprated in line with inflation? It's people on benefits. Why not?
For the reason that I've given. We don't want to, because although you're quite right to point out that there is an inflationary risk and it's very severe, it could get worse. And that knocks onto interest rates, and that knocks onto the cost of borrowing for everybody. And I'm sorry to say this, but we have to be prudent in our approach. We have to help people like Elsie, like the families you mentioned, in the short term with huge sums of taxpayers' cash through local councils or through all the schemes that we're doing. And I've outlined some of them. But the best answer is to have a strong economy where we keep interest rates as low as is reasonable, and we ensure that we get people into high-wage, high-skill jobs. And the untold story.
If we go back to our case studies, these are real people who we've spoken to, Prime Minister.
I know they are.
Talking about big sums of money and getting people into jobs don't have any impact at all.
I know,
but
Susanna, I appreciate that, but it does have an impact, actually. The impact is that the more people you have in high-wage, high-skilled jobs, the stronger your economy, the greater the revenues that we have to support people like Elsie and the other families that you mentioned. Okay. And that is what we are achieving. And it's because of the steps this government took during the pandemic to get us out of the pandemic in a strong way, with the fastest economic growth in the
G7. You say this before, but
you've just told me I haven't been on your program for 5 years. You can't have heard.
No, but I do listen and watch
Let me just make the point.
No, I want to
having a high wage, high skill economy, having youth unemployment at or near record lows, which is very different from the economic crises I remember in my youth.
It's not helping people on benefits who are not seeing their benefits go up in line with inflation, and it's not helping people from whom you took away £20 a week in universal credit and tried to claim it gets evened out by the taper. It is not helped now face a national insurance increase.
Can I come back on some of that, please? Okay, you talk about the national insurance increase. Actually, what's happened is that we've put in the biggest cut in national insurance for 10 years at least.
For
70%,
for 70%, by 1.2
for 70% of payers, no, okay. Sorry, for 70% of payers, they will receive a tax cut because we've increased the threshold.
Okay. National insurance on average of 330 in their tax, 330 pounds. We can all pick our figures, no. Prime Minister.
70% of people who pay in NI. As for universal credit, please let me just come back on this one. As for universal credit, what the Chancellor has done changing the way the tax is paid on it is effectively give a tax cut to people worth £1,000 on universal credit.
Plus, took away £1,000 from people on universal credit. Anyway, I need to talk to you about issues.
So we had a short-term COVID measure. We had a short-term COVID measure, which restored to the status quo
during COVID, and yet you took that money away. Okay, we need to move on to other issues because there's 100 other things I need to talk to you about. Right. We've got 5 years of questions to get into this 20 minutes. You've already said you're honest that you don't lie to the British people. You do, however, break the law. We know that because you have been fined for the Partygate scandal, for a birthday party here in this building. And you're being investigated for lying to Parliament. We sit in what your opposition leader calls the most fined building for breaking the law. Why did people who made the laws that the rest of us stuck to scrupulously not keep to them?
I think you know what I'm going to say on this, Susanna, and I've apologised for the things that we got wrong during the pandemic, and I repeat those apologies. But with great respect, I'm going to have to ask you to wait until the conclusion of the investigation.
You have said that you'll let us know if there have been any more fines. We already know that you have been fined once. Have you been fined since then?
No, and I'm sure that there will be, that will not remain secret. So, look.
Do you expect to be fined again?
I have no idea. And I will make sure that as soon as I'm able to say something on the conclusion of the investigation that you have a lot more from me about this. But overall, I have to say, you talk about us in this building and what we got up to. And I'm very proud of the things that we did and the steps that we took. And
Matt Hancock resigned for breaking guidance.
It was from this
Allegra
building.
Allegra Stratton resigned simply for doing a mock press conference about what happened. Your Justice Minister, Lord Wolfson, resigned because of the law breaches. How are you still in position?
Because I'm getting on with the job that I was elected to do, discharging the mandate that I was given. And I'm proud of what we're doing. And you asked at the very beginning, can people rely on me? And can they rely on what I say about what I'm going to do? Well, just as I say, look at the record. We said we would get Brexit done, and we did. We said we'd put 20,000 more police officers on the street. We've got about 13,500 now. We said we'd get 50,000 more nurses. And in spite of all the economic difficulties, we're on target to get 50,000 more nurses. And when it comes to the elections on Thursday, which you mentioned earlier on, Susanna, I would just respectfully remind you that when it comes to delivering better value for services, a lower council tax, for more potholes filled in and bins collected more quickly, you should vote for Conservative councillors on Thursday.
Can I just point out that it was under a Conservative government that we lost police officers and nurses.
And it's under this government that the numbers are going up. Neighbourhood crime.
You made massive cuts.
I was Mayor of London, and we've got crime down by 20%. We've now got neighbourhood crime down since I was elected by 33%.
Lorraine is waiting to take up all the issues that you have brought up in this interview. Thank you very much indeed.